Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Live from the 6th and Peabody Studio and across the OutKick Network, this is OutKick 360 with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
Glad you're with us, and just like that, the final hour is here. From 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine in Nashville, we welcome you to the OutKick 360 across the OutKick Network. No Paul today, he's back with us tomorrow. With Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Time to hit some college football headlines, storylines, discussions, games, and more. Ross Dellinger joins us from SI.com, college football senior writer. Ross, appreciate the time, man. Hope everything's well.
Yeah, going good.
Pretty big game in Knoxville this weekend with Tennessee and Florida. Just overall perception of both programs right now and how much they've changed, at least for me, based on Tennessee's win at Pitt. And what Florida's done or not done since their win against Utah?
Well, I think both programs are kind of in somewhat similar positions. You know, they both have relatively new coaches, second year for Josh Heupel, first year for Billy Napier at Florida. And so they're kind of in a rebuilding process coming off of, you know, the firing of a coach had a bad end to his tenure at both places. And so kind of it's a rebuilding kind of issue. And I think both have been recruiting pretty well. Both have been using, I think, NIL pretty well. So they both come in this, you know, in this situation, somewhere going down the same lines. I think that Tennessee, as we've seen this year, probably it appears to be a little bit better, but it's really early. I think everybody would have said, you know, Florida's a better than Tennessee after that first game. But Anthony Richardson, the quarterback at Florida, just not looked the same since that game against Utah. And you're right. You know, Tennessee did prove a lot going to Pitt. It's not I know it's not like a Big Ten school or some rowdy, crazy environment there. But it's on the road. It's early in the year. And certainly Tennessee looks a little more together, especially offensively. They have looked really, really good.
You know, it's a game that it feels like for Tennessee fans, there's a lot more urgency because of the history with Florida. You're a 10-point favorite. A chance to beat the Gators is always a big deal. But if you look at it from the pursuit of second place in the SEC East, which, Ross, we all know it's a battle for second because Georgia's the best team in the SEC East, the game is actually much more important to Florida, who's already lost in their opportunity against Kentucky at home. So to drop to 0-2 against your chief competition for second place pretty much dooms you, where Tennessee's got a game much later in the season at home against Kentucky where they could get back in that race. So when you look at it from that perspective, how much urgency do you think we see from the Gators on Saturday in this game?
Yeah, well, they've got you would think Billy Napier and staff will look at the Utah game, right, and then look at the last two games offensively and start to change whatever they can and go back to the performance that we saw in the season opener, whether that means running Anthony Richardson a little more or what, I don't know. But there is a lot of pressure there, you know, taking a second loss, the second conference loss this early in the year pretty much ends any chance of them getting to Atlanta. So the pressure is on there, but you know, for Tennessee, you're at home. You've been playing better. You've got a second year head coach instead of a first year head coach. You should be further along in your rebuilding. So in a lot of ways, that, you know, this feels like a game Tennessee should win. Tennessee fans probably expect it to win. So I think the pressure is on the Vols. But you're right. You know, one more loss this early in the season, one more conference loss for Florida basically kind of takes them out of the mix.
What has surprised you the most about Texas A&M so far this season and what we've seen from them?
Well, they just the inability to move the football consistently. I cannot remember who they played in the season opener, but they even struggled then.
Sam Houston State, I think it was.
Yeah. So I know there was like a rain delay in that one, but they even struggled then to move the ball. So just the consistent offense has just not been there. And I know Jimbo made the change in quarterback, putting in Max Johnson, Brad's son. And I don't know that that we saw it really make any big improvement against Miami. Miami's defense did play really well. I don't know if that was, part of it. Kevin Steele's defensive coordinator there, long time the SEC defensive coordinator. So he knows what Jimbo does. But that's been the biggest surprise, is the kind of inconsistency and this lack of efficiency on the offensive side of the ball. And that's a huge game coming up for them this weekend, right, against Arkansas. It's a neutral site. It's a big rivalry game, and it's a SEC Western Division opponent with the Alabamas and the LSUs to come down the line. You would think, A&M needs to win that game.
Ross, I know you've been reporting on the meeting that took place for the college football playoff and possible expansion sooner rather than later, but there are some big hurdles that Greg Sankey and others have pointed to, but you've gone in depth on. Take us the Cliff Notes version here of the biggest hurdles involved with the football calendar and how everything's got to be shifted around with the commissioners trying to figure out that puzzle and how difficult it is.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues here, but I think the biggest issue is the calendar. And, you've got conference championship games the first weekend in December, and then normally the national championship game is basically the second Monday in January. So you've roughly got about 5 weeks or so in there, roughly, to play all these playoff games, unless you're going to move that championship game date back a week, which has been suggested. So you've got a tight window. In order to get flexible there and expand the window, there might be some significant changes. One that's being proposed is make week one now what is week zero. So move up, either give you an extra bye, which gives you kind of flexibility and all that stuff, or that's a step in the direction of moving up the season, where you'd actually have rivalry games move off of Thanksgiving and you have conference championship games move on to Thanksgiving. And that kind of gives you maybe a bigger window. So that's part of the discussion. A big part of the discussion is the NFL. NFL games, regular season games start on Saturday in mid-December. They start playing on Saturday. They've got an expanded playoff of their own. And so they've got wildcard games that in playoff games on Saturdays in January and on Monday in January. And that's why we've written a lot about everybody bracing themselves for college football playoff games on weeknights, on Thursday night, on Friday night. I think it's maybe possible, but there's just a lot of moving parts. And then on top of all that, you've got graduation that happens in December. You've got travel issues for hosting games on campus when you have graduation at the same time, or you have exams, academic exams. So there's the academic calendar as well. So it's really complicated. I think it's the biggest issue is the calendar. And within the calendar, you have all these other really complicated factors.
So LSU gets a slap on the wrist from the NCAA, LSU football at least. We still don't know what's coming down for LSU basketball. Did any of that surprise you, Ross, when you see the report from the NCAA and what's going to happen to LSU?
Well, not really. This was so we should say, there's two separate cases going on with LSU and the NCAA right now. One case is a dual case with basketball in football. It's with Will Wade. Everybody kind of knows about that case. And then in football, it's with Vidal Alexander, the former offensive lineman, been playing in the NFL for a while now. This is an old case that has something to do with payment from a local Baton Rouge hospital to his parents, to his dad specifically, a no-show job. So those are like together, and they're being investigated together, and that case is dragging on and probably will into next year. That's the big case. What we've had today was a case against former LSU offensive line coach James Craig, who committed what we've seen some of the acts at Arizona State, and we've seen some of the acts at Tennessee, is you're committing violations during the COVID dead period. So LSU got off light. They fired him, I think, pretty much immediately after they found out about the violations. And so that was probably a big reason they got off a little light here. Only 1 year probation. They took a bunch of self-imposed recruiting things that that aren't that significant. And then James Craig, who's now working in the NFL, has a 3-year show cause. So basically he can't work in college football for another 3 years, but he's in the NFL right now, so it doesn't really matter. So kind of a, as you might call, a nothing burger of a case today, but the big burger comes probably January, February, March, somewhere around then, when you have the ruling from the NCAA and the Will Wade and the other hospital no-show job football-related stuff.
Notre Dame at North Carolina this Saturday. How big is this game for Marcus Freeman to course-correct a bit in his first full season as Notre Dame head coach and maybe get things headed back on the right path?
Yeah, speaking of, we talked about A&M's inefficient offensively. You know, Notre Dame's has been right there with it. Just an absolute struggle to move the football consistently. Struggle at quarterback. Pine has really, he's not looked great at times. It's just been a struggle to move the football. And if there's any good thing about this week's matchup, it's that Notre Dame has a chance to move the football. North Carolina's defense has been maybe one of the worst, in FBS so far. Gene Chizik, his defensive coordinator, came off the TV role to kind of save the North Carolina defense, and it has really, really struggled. I mean, everybody knows they gave up 40 points in a single quarter to App State. So if Notre Dame is going to do it, this will be the week to do it.
Ross, in your opinion, of these three, Meyer, Hugh Freeze, Bobby Petrino, who do you think makes the jump up to the Power Five fastest? Do we see two of the three? Do you think we just see Meyer in Power Five next year or none?
You know, I think that Urban Meyer is going to sit out longer. That's just a gut feeling that he's going to sit out a little longer than just one year. Then again, he's a coach and all those coaches have itches and to coach again and to walk the sideline. But obviously he's had some missteps, and any school who hires him is probably going to, have to deal with those issues. And a lot of schools don't want to deal with those issues. So I probably, of the three, would say Hugh Freeze, who's at Liberty, having another pretty solid season. I've been a little surprised that Hugh hasn't gotten a crack at some jobs in the last few years. He's had some missteps of his own, but it's been a while, since all that's happened. Fired at Ole Miss in 2016, so that's 6 years removed from all that. He makes a lot of sense at Auburn, a place that might come open. And I thought he made a lot of sense 2 years ago for the Auburn job. So I would probably say Hugh of those three. Bobby Petrino, I don't think a Power Five is going to give, even a lower level Power Five, I just don't expect them to give Bobby Petrino another chance. I think he's all out of shots.
Fair enough. I threw him in there based on the way that they performed this past week at Arkansas, and knowing that all three of those guys win college football games.
Yeah, they can coach. Another guy that can coach is Lance Leipold and what he's doing at Kansas. Undefeated Duke at undefeated Kansas this weekend. Didn't think we'd see that as a premier 11 a.m. Central kickoff on FS1. But here we have both these programs undefeated. And I think this kind of ties into another question about a coaching vacancy, and that's at Nebraska. And Lance Leipold's already being asked about that job. What makes sense for Nebraska? And we can talk about this, Ross, from the context of the job that Leipold's doing at Kansas.
Oh, right. It's incredible what he's doing at Kansas so far. You know, he has a great track record. You look at what he did at Wisconsin Whitewater. I know it's, people probably didn't realize what he did at the time, but in like a stretch, I think of 7 years, he won 6 national championships at the D3 level. It's unheard of. It's just incredible. At one point, they had something like a 40 or 50 game win streak. And then he went to Buffalo and won. Another pretty difficult place to win at Buffalo. It took him to a couple of bowl games, I believe, or maybe three bowl games his last 3 years. They won 10 games 1 year at Buffalo. He did some great things. Everywhere he's been, he's basically won football games. And we're seeing him at arguably the worst FBS job, arguably the worst Power Five job. And he's winning. And it's really been fun to watch. And he's a good guy who's kind of a journeyman type. You know, he's 58 years old and he does have a connection to Nebraska, right? He was there for maybe 15 years or so, close to 15 years, with Osborne late, I believe, or Frank Solich. I think he was there with Frank Solich.
I think he was there 01 to 03 with Solich.
Oh, and maybe 01 to 03. Ah,
yeah. Maybe.
Oh, you know what? He was at
Nebraska, Omaha.
Yeah, that's right. But he was in Nebraska, not at Nebraska, but
yeah,
for a couple of years he was with Frank there. So he's got a connection to obviously that part of the country. And you would think that he would be high up. The thing is, it's really early, right? They're just three now. It's just three games in. So give it some time to see if Kansas is for real. We'll find out a little more this weekend, but we'll really find out next weekend. They have a trip to Iowa State.
Ross, I really appreciate the visit, man. Great work as always at SI. We love the follow, and hopefully we'll catch up with you down the road here in the college football season.
All right, guys. See y'all.
Yeah, there's Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated college football reporter. He does a lot of the behind-the-scenes reporting on college football playoff. He's got a great piece up on Walt Wells, who nearly died on the practice field at Eastern Kentucky. Highly recommend going to reading that story.
Yeah, he's great on the business side of college football with television contracts, college football playoff discussions, all those things. He's good at reporting on all that.
Coming up, at least one big thing on every NFL game for week three.
One of my favorite segments.
This is next, Now Kick 360.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
From 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine, alongside Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Glad you're with us for Outkick 360. Chad, we've got a great college football slate again. It's tiered a bit this week. We'll have a full preview tomorrow, but Tennessee, Florida, and then A&M, Arkansas, two must-see matchups. Wisconsin, Ohio State, I'm eager to see Ohio State against Wisconsin from their passing game perspective against Wisconsin's secondary, which leads the Big Ten right now in takeaways, interceptions with 7. Told Bobby Carpenter yesterday, I don't think it's close at the end, but I think it's an entertaining game for the Big Ten perspective, especially given the fact that Wisconsin's got to show something after what we saw earlier with Washington State. NFL, by the way, kicks off tonight. We've got the second week of Thursday Night Football on Amazon.
One quick thing on college, by the way. One game that's pretty interesting to me that's taking place tonight, West Virginia at Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
is a Thursday night game.
Tonight.
We got a bigger NFL game tonight, but that game's at 6:30 on ESPN, 6:30 Central. But interesting game there. We've got good. This is the rare week where I think we have a good Thursday night and Friday night college matchup. Virginia at Syracuse. Syracuse is 3-0 to start the season.
Knocking off Purdue.
A decent little ACC game. 2-1 Virginia at 3-0 Syracuse. That's Syracuse a 9-point favorite in that game. That game's tomorrow night. But yeah, this weekend, not a ton of huge games. I'll have my top 10 college games the weekend tomorrow. And I will go ahead and tell you that two basketball schools in Duke and Kansas playing each other will be on that list somewhere. Don't know where yet, but they're going to be on that list somewhere.
When's the last time Kansas was favored on the road?
The last time Kansas, Davey Hudson sent this stat to me. The last time Kansas was favored against a Power 5 opponent.
Okay.
Was 2009.
Period. Home or away.
They're at home.
Oh, Kansas is at home.
Kansas is hosting
Duke.
Oh,
I thought this was at Duke.
So the last time they were favored, favored by 7.5 or more. The last time that was the case was 2009.
Either way.
2007, I believe, was the year they won 10 games under Mark Mangino. That's the last time they were really good.
Real quick, before we get to the NFL discussion, if you polled Nebraska fans immediately right now, would they take Leipold or Matt Campbell?
They would take Matt Campbell. Because you want the young – I mean, this is what fans will think. They want the young guy. And Campbell is a young – you know, the more young, up-and-coming coach. Leipold, I think Ross Stoll's 58, has been around the block, done a lot.
Listening to Ross Dellinger rattle off where he's been and where he's won, and now he's doing it at Kansas. You know, it's a lot like James Franklin to me. James Franklin wins early and quickly at Vandy. And it propels him to that next gig, right?
He coached with Solich at Nebraska from 01 to 03. Then he was the head coach at Nebraska Omaha and won a ton there. And then he went to Wisconsin Whitewater in Division III, won 6 national championships. He had Buffalo in the top 25. He won 10 games at Buffalo.
That's crazy.
In year two at Kansas, they beat West Virginia. They, I forget who they beat last week, but I mean, they're 3-0. They beat Houston.
Beat Houston.
They won at Houston as a double digit underdog going into the game. And here they are 3-0. I mean, he's a great coach. Nebraska would do well to hire him, but Matt Campbell would be great too. That'd also be a good option. They're going to have good options. I keep seeing Jim Leonard, who's the defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, who's a former Wisconsin player, high up on Nebraska's list. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's legit or if he just has a really good agent. You know, it's one of those where I'm not quite sure why he's getting mentioned everywhere. I mean, he's a good young coach. I think he's 38, Jim Leonard.
He probably has the same agent as everyone, right?
Yeah.
Knowing him. Week 3 kicks off tonight, Pittsburgh and Cleveland. It's time for at least one big thing on every NFL game for Week 3 on OutKick. Chad, Steelers at the Browns. This game has the makings for a hard-nosed, physical throwback game, right? This is not Chargers-Chiefs from a week ago. The Steelers have struggled to find pressure if T.J. Watt is not on the field. They failed to record a sack last week for just the third time since 2017. On offense, it's been predictable personnel and predictable play calling. Matt Canada is getting a lot of heat as the offensive coordinator. And, of course, Trubisky is looking over his shoulder and being asked about Kenny Pickett any chance the media has and any chance the fans have to tweet at him. The Browns pass rush. Tonight they're without Jadeveon Clowney. They are going to be without Chase Vinovich. And they have to generate some pressure with Myles Garrett and company. Can they get the extra boost opposite Myles Garrett, who has been tremendous to begin the season? The Browns rank 4th in yards per rush attempt in the NFL at 5.3. Their offensive line has not been great, even at run blocking, because the duo of Chubb and Kareem Hunt are doing more with less as one of the best, if not the best, tandem in football right now. Both of them top 10 in broken tackles and yards after contact and missed tackles for that Browns offense. Bottom line, if Trubisky is all dink and dunk and short passing, I think we see Pickett, maybe not tonight, but over the 10-day layoff before they play next week.
This is a Browns-Steelers game that feels like it should be December and there's a wind coming in off the lake. And it's going to look like that, even though the weather's probably going to be perfect.
It's going to be very gray.
With both offenses, I'm saying the weather could be perfect. It'll look like a game in December with the wind blowing in off the lake.
A little betting nugget. Davey Hudson tells us through Bet Labs, Kevin Stefanski is 1-11 against the spread in divisional opponents since he became the head coach of the Browns. Take that for what it's worth.
It's not ideal. By the way, Kansas against Duke sold out. Second time in 13 years that Kansas has sold out a home game. That game is sold out on Saturday.
Bears and Texans. The Bears and Texans both don't generate much buzz. In fact, I think they qualify as the most boring teams in the NFL.
Least interesting game.
The Bears have 28 pass attempts through two games offensively. 28. And we're... 28 pass attempts, how many completed? Justin Fields, through two games, Chad, has completed just 15 passes. Of course, they had the monsoon game He's completed 15 passes in 2 weeks of football. The Bears, they run the ball 65, we'll call it 66% of their offensive plays. That's the most in the league. The 49ers are second at 59 in the league. And, of course, both of those teams played in that monsoon in week one. Titans and Raiders, two teams that should be able to run the football. The Titans haven't been able to. Davante Adams had just two catches for 12 yards a week ago when the Cardinals came back to beat the Raiders. The Raiders have an 0-2 Titans team that has something to prove. The Raiders, of course, 0-2. Their next opponents after Tennessee, the Broncos and the Chiefs. I think Las Vegas has to win two of those three games coming up, starting this week, to have their playoff hopes still within reach. Tennessee, by the way, tied for first in the league in punt attempts per game at 6.
Mm.
Colts and Chiefs, it's the home opener for Indianapolis. They are 0-1-1. They've been outscored 44-3 in all but the fourth quarters of their two games so far this season. Matt Ryan on Sunday, 6 of 30 passing, 195 yards. He threw three interceptions. He has one touchdown pass and four picks to begin the season in their 0-1-1 start.
6 of 30?
16 of 30.
Okay. About to say, 6 of 30 sounds a lot worse.
It feels like 6 of 30.
Yeah.
Mahomes, 17 touchdowns to one interception in his last five games on the road. Dolphins, Bills. So here are the Bills. They've beaten the defending Super Bowl champs and then last season's top AFC playoff seed in the Titans. A combined score of two teams that won 12 games in the regular season a year ago. Combined score against the Bills to start, 72-17 is the final score through 2 weeks. They've been unstoppable. This game features the top three receivers in the NFL currently. Tyreek Hill leads the NFL in receiving yards with 284. Stephon Diggs is second with 270, and Jalen Waddle third with 240. Chad, who would you take for the leading receiver among those three on Sunday?
I think it's going to be Diggs. I think he's going to follow up the performance against the Titans and have another big one with Josh Allen. I'll say this for the Bills. I knew they were going to be good this year. I don't know that anyone expected them to look this good through 2 weeks. Even as good as that roster is and as good as they've been, they've exceeded my expectations.
Tua is guiding Miami's offense. I think I got this from Armando. They are averaging 14 more points per game than expected based on down distance and field position of the play. This is through analytics of True Media. 14 more points than expected per game to begin the season. Meanwhile, how good have the Bills been? I mentioned last week, going into last week's Monday night game, they had punted only in one game of their last four. They had not punted in three of their last four regular season games dating back to last year. That was a record. We'll put it in further context now with this stat. Dating back to the start of last season, the Bills have three games with 40 points and four forced turnovers. That is as many as the rest of the league and the NFL during that same time frame combined. That's how dominant they've been. I think they cover Sunday in Miami. I think a lot of people are picking Miami. I'm not one of them.
The Bills, again, so impressive so far this season through two games.
Armando Salguero, hide your ears. Vikings and Lions preview headed your way.
He's not watching.
Dating back to the last game of 2021, the Lions have scored 35 or more points in three consecutive games. It's extremely rare. The last time that's happened for them was in 1952, where they were winning championships with Buddy Parker. Best receiver you don't hear about is Amon-Ra St. Brown. 9 touchdowns in his last 6 games within that Detroit offense. And each of the last three games in this series between the Vikings and Lions have been decided by 2 points. This is going to be a good game on Sunday. Patriots, Ravens.
By the way, Hutton, I agree with you on the Lions. I think that they are a slightly better than we expected coming into the season. And they're not some great team, but they're going to show a lot of progress in year two under Dan Campbell.
They can run the football in Minnesota this Sunday. The Vikings are allowing over 5 yards per carry. Defensively, the Lions are leading the league with over 7 yards per rush attempt so far. Patriots Ravens, dating back to last year, Baltimore has blown 5 fourth quarter leads, and they gave up a 28 point deficit last week to Miami in the fourth quarter, giving up the 28 points and allowing Miami to come from behind. They were down 21 going into the fourth, and Tua and company put on a show. Mac Jones, he has a 67% completion percentage through his first 19 starts. He can pass Chad Pennington for the highest completion percentage by a quarterback in his first 20 starts on Sunday if he completes the football against Baltimore.
I did not expect to hear the name Chad Pennington during your rundown of games. So there you go. It's something for everyone. And I did not know that Chad Pennington owned that record.
What would you say Joe Burrow is on pace for to be sacked this season?
Well, he was sacked 7 times in the first game.
Yep, and 6 last week.
So 13. So
got a ways to go.
Doing the math, 900.
Yeah, close. 110. He's on pace to be sacked 110 times.
Feels
right
like
now.
900 times.
How rare is it? By the way, the Bengals are facing the Jets. The Jets and Giants both won last week. And in September, that's only happened once in the last 3 years where both teams have won on the same weekend in September. Breece Hall, by the way, for the Jets, he leads all the rookie running backs with 121 scrimmage yards. And Joe Flacco is one of two quarterbacks. The other's Carson Wentz that has thrown for over 300 yards in each of his first two games of the season. Flacco's thrown it a ton. What is it, Davey? Over 50 attempts per game or something so far?
Zach Wilson may need his friend's mom to house him after he loses his job, because it's going to be a battle when he comes back with Joe Flacco.
The Eagles host the Commanders. This is the first game for Carson Wentz against the team that traded up to draft him. He hasn't faced the Eagles since he was traded away to Indianapolis. Washington has scored a touchdown every time they've entered the red zone this season with Wentz. 5 of 5. They're tied for first with Dallas, but Dallas didn't even reach the red zone in week 1. So Washington's been far more consistent through two games. A.J. Brown for the Eagles, 5 catches, 69 yards last week. He's 6th in the NFL in receiving yards in 2022. It is a rare trade me, get me out of town. The team does it, and then the player arrives at the new city and immediately sparks everything offensively. We don't see it, but A.J.'s brought it, a number one weapon for Jalen Hurts.
Well, and on the flip side, may have started an unnecessary, early, premature rebuild for the Titans in trading away A.J. Brown. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. But I've got to call him up at Outkick right now with my 5 worst teams in the league. Titans are in that after 2 weeks. That they were the number one seed in the AFC a year ago with A.J. Brown. So
is Carolina?
That's a problem.
Is Carolina on that bottom 5?
Carolina is, I'll go ahead and say it, they're the worst.
Okay, the Panthers, they've lost 9 straight games. They're facing the Saints this week. They're 0-9 against the spread as well in those 9 games, in case you're wondering. Dating to the beginning of last October, Matt Rhule, 2-14 against the spread. What's worse, this is an amazing stat from Clark Judge. Matt Rhule's record when the Panthers allow more than 17 points. When their defense allows more than 17 points, Matt Rhule is 1-25. As the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Next 5 weeks for them, Saints, Cardinals, 49ers, Rams, Bucks. Doesn't get easier.
The next Auburn head coach.
Matt Rhule.
Right there in Charlotte, in Carolina. So there's not a team in the league that has a worse-looking two-pack of losses to open the season than at home against Cleveland with a backup quarterback and then on the road against the Giants. Panthers win that distinction. They win my list of worst teams in NFL through 2 weeks.
Carolina's the one defense in the league that has not forced a turnover yet. Chargers and Jaguars. Herbert suffered that fracture to his rib cartilage. We went through that with Armando on how painful that is. He's day-to-day. They have Chase Daniel, who's made millions without doing anything on game day, but back up good quarterbacks that don't get hurt. I don't know if we'll see him. Maybe we do, because I think Herbert plays. They're going to give him the injection. They haven't said that, but I think that's the intent as they host Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence is 0-9 on the road. He's going to try to get his first road win on Sunday in Los Angeles. The only quarterback to lose his first 9 road starts and win his 10th. Chad, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, 0-9 to begin his career, won his 10th. We'll see if Trevor Lawrence can do that with a win over the Chargers. And by the way, that's also the team that Manning won his 10th game 10th road game against.
I'd also like to say just polar opposite hairlines between Trevor Lawrence and Peyton Manning. I mean, you could not find a bigger gap in the hair game than those two quarterbacks.
Cardinals and Rams. Last week, the seventh time in his past 15 games that Matthew Stafford has thrown multiple picks in a game. That includes the playoffs. Who wins on third down? Opponents have converted 60% of their third downs against the Rams. The Rams are dead last in that, in allowing third down conversions. Of course, they played the Bills week one. Opponents have converted 58% of their third downs against the Cardinals. They're 31st in the league, just ahead of Los Angeles. Kyler Murray, 1-5 in his career against the Rams. Cooper Kupp, he now has at least five catches in 23 consecutive games, tying DeAndre Hopkins for second. That's the second longest streak. The longest streak, by the way, is Antonio Brown, 36 games. These guys are going to be tied at 23. He'll look to make it 24 and own second place. DK Metcalf, 17 touchdowns in his last 17 games played in Seattle. Seattle hosts Atlanta on Sunday, where Kyle Pitts has two catches for 19 yards in each of his first two games. They've got Drake London going. They need to get Kyle Pitts going offensively.
He is supposed to be the weapon. He's the unicorn player at tight end, and he's done nothing so far this season. Got to change.
The Buccaneers' defense is for real. They've allowed 13 points in their first two wins. Tampa Bay's 2-0. The rest of the division is 1-5. There's your playoff hope, despite the offensive weapons not being anywhere up to par for Tampa Bay currently, especially going into this game. Mike Evans is suspended. Chris Godwin and Julio Jones, they both missed last week's game due to injuries. That could potentially leave us with Breshad Perriman, Russell Gage, and Scotty Miller as the three-pack. They also have Cole Beasley on their practice squad currently. The Bucs have the Chiefs after Sunday's meeting against the Packers. Rodgers comes to town, to Tampa Bay, looking for win number two after losing week one. Broncos and 49ers on Sunday Night Football. Jimmy G taking on Russell Wilson on the opposite sideline. San Fran leads the league in average time of possession offensively. 35 minutes, nearly 36 minutes of possession time offensively for San Fran. The Broncos have been flagged for three delay of game penalties through two games. And that's with Nathaniel Hackett. To me, that's just discipline and getting a play call in. He's calling plays as the head coach. They were flagged, the Broncos were, twice all season last year for that same penalty, delay a game, with far less talent at quarterback.
This game feels bigger for Denver to me.
Yes.
Than San Francisco.
Yes. Denver leads the league in 103 penalty yards per game on average. That goes back to poor coaching by Hackett as well. Giants and Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Jerry Jones said he would walk to New York if that meant that there is any type of quarterback controversy where Cooper Rush continues to win and play well and Dak Prescott is ready to return, or could return, I think is how it's been phrased. Like, do we need to play him a week earlier? He said he would walk to New York if that were the case, where they had a big decision to make. Dallas has won 9 of their last 10 against the Giants. Cooper Rush is 2-0 in his two games started in the league. Micah Parsons, 15 pass rush wins this season. That's the most by any NFL defender. There are 7 teams with 15 or fewer pass rush wins total through 2 weeks. And Micah Parsons has it solo and has been extremely dominant. That is from NFL Next Gen Stats. The Giants have not started 3-0 since 2009. Sterling Shepard is a big reason why they've been able to move the football, throwing the football. He's back. He looks healthy. He's back from that Achilles injury, Chad. 6 catches last week. He has 6 or more catches in his last two games against the Cowboys defense.
Giants starting 3-0. No one would have expected that, and they got a great chance against Cooper Rush in the Cowboys in this game, so that would be quite the story.
What do you think is the biggest lopsided game of the weekend? Just going through it. I think it's Rams-Cardinals, because I think the Cardinals last week was well, it was flukish based on the comeback that we saw and how they went about doing it.
Oh,
I'm taking
man.
The Rams bid.
I think Indy's really bad. I think KC might go in
that's
there and house Indy in this game.
Well, that sets up my scenario for next week then, for the Titans. I keep saying it's here. They're playing twice in 3 weeks.
I know that
Titans
Indy's
play there next week.
Indy's recovered from 0-3 before. I feel like maybe Andrew Luck was the quarterback when they did that, or maybe it was Rivers.
No, they started 0-3 last year.
They were 0-3 last year?
They started 0-3 last year, and they went into week 16 needing a win.
And they lost to Jacksonville.
They had the Raiders. They hosted the Raiders and lost that game. And then they lost at Jacksonville. Win and in, and they lost at Jacksonville.
If it's the most lopsided game of the week and they lose at home to Kansas City badly, this still, to me, feels a lot different. They feel dead to me at that point.
No, because they've... Yeah, you're right. I mean, they started bad.
This 0-3 would be different.
They started bad last year, 0-3. They finished how they started last year, right? And then this year, they've started as they finished, losing to Jacksonville. And, I mean, not even scoring after trying to prove that it was Wentz's problem. Meanwhile, Wentz, he's been okay.
Yep.
He's been okay. Coming up, we get you ready for Thursday Night Football. We'll give you some picks. I've got two props I'm playing right now at DraftKings. Chad, you can follow along if you'd like.
To hear them.
You can also go against them if you hate them. That's fair too. That means one of us will win money if you do that. That's next on Outkick 360.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Outkick 360 rolls on. DraftKings, you can bet $5, win $200 in free bets for all new DraftKings users. You got to be 21 years or older. This is for first-time DraftKings Sportsbook customers. DraftKings updating its NFL offer to bet $5, win $200 in free bets. The offer goes live right now, and then it's live through November the 20th. You got some time here. Outkick.com/betting. Outkick.com/betting. You bet five or more on any NFL pregame money line. You could sign up at least $5 or more. Make sure it's your first bet. You could take Pittsburgh or Cleveland in the money line. If you win that bet, you win $200 in free bets. Make a deposit in the sportsbook account with your first wager. Make sure it's the wager of five or more on a money line bet in the NFL. And then if you win, you get $200 in your DraftKings account. And that's in to addition to whatever you win on the bet itself. 21 years or older, outkick.com/betting for all of our DraftKings content. That's outkick.com/betting. A couple of props for you, Chad, for Thursday Night Football.
Ready.
I took Kareem Hunt over 2.5 receptions in this game. Pittsburgh has allowed 13 receptions to running backs through 2 weeks.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt is their guy out of the backfield for that.
As soon as I find it, I'm going
to
bet it.
Oh, yeah, it's tough to find. I found it at 2.5 last night. It's plus 110. It's a nice prop that I think is worthy of a winner. And I mentioned earlier in our one big thing on every week three game, it's the best running back tandem in football with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb in no particular order. I would take Chubb over Hunt, but running the football, I'm taking Chubb to score a touchdown. Anytime touchdown score. Second most rushing yards in the league is Nick Chubb. I think he performs well tonight on Thursday night. I think it's going to be one of those grind-out games. Low scoring, but Chubb's getting a touchdown against the Pittsburgh defense.
What do you know the odds on that? If that hits both?
Hang on, I'll tell you. I'll tell you by the end of the show.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm interested.
I'm still looking for receptions right now for Chubb.
Roethlisberger's tenure at quarterback, the Steelers own Cleveland. And now you've got Trubisky just trying to own the starting job for another week. I'm fascinated by the storyline because I don't know why you would make a change after week three if you were 2-1, right? They already have the win over Cincinnati. This would be their second win in the division.
That'd be 2-0 in the division.
So I don't know why, despite how bad it might look, why you'd make a change. However, their offense is like a 15-yard window, a box, and that's maybe putting it lightly on what I've seen from Matt Canada in the play calling. It's nothing special. They're not pressing the issue. It's nothing bold. It's very bland. I think Pickett would certainly give a charge and an energy to the offense.
I think Cleveland wins. I think we're going to see Kenny Pickett the next time the Steelers take the field. And I think Cleveland gets it done tonight. I know they're a 4.5-point favorite. It's going to be close. It's going to be right down to the wire. I think it's going to be a really good game. But give me the Browns.
I've got it at plus 320 on my odds here at the DraftKings app I'm looking at on what I bet last night.
Nice.
On those.
I'll play it once I find receptions for Nick Chubb.
Enjoy Thursday night football. Tomorrow, a full college football preview.
Weekend's here.
Florida, and much more.
Declare it. The weekend's here.
OutKick 360.
It's arrived.
Back tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Have a great
Central.
Weekend, everyone.